This weekend, the Adelaide Botanic Gardens is playing host to an heirloom festival. Frankly, any activity that incorporates a pumpkin growing competition is okay with me. But in this age of large-scale commercial agriculture, let's face it, it's worth taking a moment to celebrate those traditional varieties of plants that are grown and harvested a little differently. So today we're going to look at the humble and not-so-humble apple. What's out there? What choice exists for the keen apple lover? And is heirloom the answer? Is that going to get me past the fact that if I go to a supermarket, all I seem to be getting is pink ladies and Granny Smith and nothing in between? The Heirloom Weekend is co-presented by the Diggers Club, who are Australia's largest garden club, and its founder, Clive Blasey, joins me now. Clive, help me out on a definitional question to begin with. Did I get that right? What does heirloom refer to when it comes to fruit and veg?
Heirloom relates to, I guess, varieties that have disappeared as a consequence of us now mostly going to supermarkets to buy all our food. So if we go back to the 1900s, there's probably 3,000 or 4,000 different apples around the world, maybe 200 or 300 in Australia. Now in the supermarket, you might get 4 or 5, maybe 10 all round. And so some of the best apples have disappeared because they don't have the shelf life.
Sorry, Clive, 3,000 or 4,000 different varietals of apples.
Yes. Well, you see, in the olden days, apples like beer were turned into cider, and that was the only way you got clean water, you might say. And of course, when America was colonized, referring back to Johnny Appleseed, he went to a cider factory, picked up all the seeds, and then spread them all away on the trails, and that's how we got an enormous range of varieties. So apples have been our most popular fruit probably for 300 or 400 years in Northern Europe. And so that's how we got so many varieties.
So why have we whittled that down to 5 or 6? What on earth possesses kind of agriculture to do such things?
Well, the same's happened in tomatoes. There's 3,000 or 4,000 different varieties of tomatoes. And frankly, what's offered in the supermarket is a modern hybrid, which is really the genetics of only one or two. So, that's really our specialty, to preserve these older varieties of fruits and vegetables. And that's what the Heirloom Festival at the Adelaide Botanic Gardens is really designed to do.
So, as you say, apples are, perennial. They're a great favourite fruit and they're kind of winnowed down. So if heirloom is the answer, if that's going to get us past this kind of lack of species variety, where can we grow backyard apples in Australia?
Well, the great thing is now that we've got dwarfing rootstocks, you take the clone of, let's say, a snow apple or a Macintosh or a Jonathan, and it's grafted onto this dwarf rootstock. So you and I are only spaced about a metre apart. We could have two trees, but between us in 10 square metres, we could have 5 to 10 trees. Now,
I'm not sure the ABC had approved of that planting plan, Clive, but no, go on.
So these trees would be specially pruned so that the laterals would produce fruit along, let's say, three wires, and they'd be a metre, 1.5 and 2 metres high. We'd get enough fruit off that to keep every family happy. So you need a tiny amount of space. You probably need half a day's sunshine. But that's a big advantage, because in the olden days, your apple tree might have covered 8 metres across or something, and you'd only get one in your backyard.
So condition-wise, they need the chill factor, don't they? So it needs to be south of the country, it needs to be inland generally?
Yes. They don't take to tropical or subtropical humid conditions, so north of Sydney up to Brisbane is no good, but you can grow them on the inland as long as you get the appropriate number of chilling hours. So the trick, of course, with apples, apart from the harvest period going for 4 or 5 months, and therefore you probably want 4 varieties to give you a harvest all the way through. The trick, of course, is that you have to have the pollinators, and they're not a self-pollinating crop like tomatoes are. So you do generally have to have more than one, but that's a detail. If you grew Jonathan, which is a terrific eating apple, it would pollinate everything that flowered at the same time.
I don't want to be rude, Clive, but you've come in here and the smell of apple has filled the studio, which is a wonderful smell. It's kind of a immediately fresh, immediately kind of memorable one. Are there particular varieties you would recommend for the home backyard?
Yes, I'm not sure whether you want to do some taste tests on the site.
Go on. Radio's always improved by the sound of me eating.
That's a snow apple, which I think is a fantastic variety, very white. That's disappeared off the market. It's pretty small.
That is nice.
That's a mid-season. That's a pity that one's disappeared, I think. I've got two. There was one other one I particularly... Jonathan's fairly conventional, but Cox's Orange Pippin is a variety which I guess is the most popular in England and in various parts of Australia does particularly well. So you might like to try that and say what you think about it.
Tell me, as I bite into the Cox's Orange Pippin, tell me, are there particularly Australian varieties
This is actually quite exciting because generally... in terms of cultivars of fruit and vegetables, we take what comes from Europe. But in fact, in Perth or Western Australia, we now have Pink Lady came from there. There's about four varieties. Of course, Granny Smith is an Australian worldwide selection. And while we're talking about Granny Smith, most of us think of it as a cooking apple and eat it green. But if you let it turn into a sort of mild yellow, it is, I think, the best eating apple there is. But don't eat it you'd leave it till June or July.
I'm just going to let our listeners know from a taste perspective, the Cox's Orange Pippin and the snow apple are quite different. They're different consistency, but the Cox's has a kind of almost a tartness to it, but... It's a beautiful apple, kind of.
Tart apples generally don't get into supermarkets. What gets into supermarkets is high sugar. You know, Fuji, which I must say I like a lot. I think that's why Fuji's such a popular
variety. Does well in a lunchbox, Clive. Does well in a lunchbox. So, okay, the gardening tips, we need to do this very quickly in a couple of minutes. But is it best to plant them bare-rooted or potted?
Bare-rooted... is going to be slightly cheaper, but it means that you have to buy them in winter and plant them before the end of August. Potted ones are just those bare-rooted varieties and available all through the year. So it doesn't matter. You've just got to make sure your bare-rooted ones don't dry out. If the roots dry out, you know, you're taking a risk, which doesn't happen in a pot.
And do you have other tips for the home growing to remember? I mean, there's the need for the pollinators. There's the fact that they need to be grafted onto good rootstock.
Yes. We recommend people use espaliering techniques because that means you can grow a lot more varieties. And that means you get fresh apples because, of course, when you're buying something from the supermarket, they're stored under controlled conditions and they might be 6 or 10 months old. So fresh makes a huge difference.
Five Blazy, fresh makes a huge difference. These are delicious apples. I'm going to eat my way through the rest of the show. Clive Blazy's from the Diggers Club, and details on Adelaide's Heirloom Festival are on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website.